5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
He talks the talk, but he also finishes. Walks the walk, Jim.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Could Bill get any less smooth?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Monday, footy day. We get Purple in. We talk a bit of footy with him. Can't wait for that, of course. There might be a bit of unusual stuff later on, maybe, if we've got time. And Rabs, you and I are in the studio here and loving it, of course. And down at the Creamy, all the way down at Geelong, is old Fat Brownless. Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Hope the internet lasts today because it's got a touch of coronavirus, to be honest. Just a bit iffy at the minute. G'day to you. Hope you're well. G'day to the listeners and g'day to you, Rabsy.
If I see one bloke walk out of here getting a pat on the back from people out there for a good effort, I'll spew up because it's just not acceptable.
Go and have your showers. We'll see you back at the social club.
Where's that? Who's that?
That's Plough.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it sounded like...
Terry Wallace.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know who Plough is. I thought it was sounding like the former coach of the Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, Rocket Eid.
I thought it had a bit of rocket about it. All right, now, Fat, what are we your big weekend of sport?
Oh, Jim, again, and you'll love this. The 149th British Open has been played and won by...
And with a par at the last, it is a nerveless... It is a faultless performance from 24-year-old Colin Morikawa, who wins on his Open debut.
Second major for this young man, 24 years of age, won the PGA. I think that was in San Francisco. He is a freakish talent. What do you think about when you're 24, Bill? I couldn't bloody work out how to tie my shoes up properly. He's already won two majors, the Players. He is extraordinary and just going to get better and better. But cracking final round. Jordan Spieth's back. It was great to see him play as well as he did. Louis, when I left, he had just blasted one out of the bunker into another bunker, and he had a bit of a fade out in the middle of the tournament. It was a shame for him because he's been very close all year but hasn't been able to greet the judges. Well done to Colin. And, of course, the Aussies disappointing, Fat. Adam Scott was good on the last day but had played himself out over the weekend, and our man Cam Smith, who I thought might just mount something, had a real shocker.
He did, last round shocker. It was disappointing, the Aussies, but 32,000 fans there, Jim. How good was that? Just seeing the fans there, unbelievable. And Morikawa, or Kawa, had never played in links conditions before until last week, Jim. He played in the Scottish Open where he tied for 71st, so he didn't like it. That's the second time he's played in links conditions. Yeah. So well done to him.
Brilliant. He's brilliant. Jim. Just going to get better and better.
Speaking of stars, our boys, the Wallabies. Oh, we spoke to, who did we speak to last week from the Wallabies?
Matt Tamua.
Matty Tamua. Captain of the Rebels.
Well, they've had a win.
Yes.
They've had a win, of course. They defeated France over the weekend, 33-30, so they've won the series 2-1. Nice. They're going well. Well done to the Wallabies, Jim. Now they take on the All Blacks, of course. Good luck there.
Jeez, that worries
what
me.
That
worries me.
What about Melbourne Storm, Jim?
Rugby league.
They got told, Thursday when we spoke to Bellyache, they got to move in about 2 or 3 hours.
Are you sure?
Up to Sydney. Yes, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness.
To Newcastle over the weekend, 48-4. It's the 11th time they've scored over 40 points, Jim. They are flying the
Storm. Unbelievable. Doesn't matter what you throw at Bellyache and the Storm, they will prevail. They're an extraordinary organisation.
Love them, Jim. The netball, this is not good. Collingwood defeated the Vixens over the weekend, 52-48.
What's going on with our
girls? Jim, we haven't been following them too closely this year, have we? They're not winning. The NBA final. Have you been all over this? The finals, the Bucks are now one win away from the NBA title.
Is that surprising you, Rabbits? You're our NBA man.
Yes. No, it's a pretty even contest. So, yeah, I think everyone would love either team to win.
Yep.
Because they built their teams up from the draft, which is good.
1971, the last time Milwaukee won, Fat.
Fair dinkum.
Yep.
Wow. They'll go berserk. They will go mad over there, but they should win it. They should wrap this up, shouldn't they, Rabsy?
Well, game 6 in Milwaukee, so it's a big chance.
Wow-wee. That'd be interesting. And, Jimmy, just to finish off this sports report, we'd like to talk about different sports. Are you into your skateboarding?
Not really, but I know who Tony Hawk is.
Well, Tony Hawk's a superstar of skateboarding, of course, but there's a young bloke, a Brazilian kid, who's an absolute star. He's only 12, and he has pulled off, Jim, the first 1080 ever. Have a listen.
Oh, yeah. Stand up. Stand up. That's it.
Told you.
On the final attempt, he finally puts down the 10.
This is skateboarding in its purest form. 12-year-old Guy Curry landing a 1080.
That's the holy grail.
1080, Jim. Well, it's a 1080. It's three full rotations, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk could only do a 900, Jim, which is only 2.5 rotations.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Yep.
So well done to this kid, the 12-year-old. Three rotations at 1080. Wowee, that is hip-hop. That is yo-yo-yo. It's yo-yo-yo-yo.
Trying to get down and dirty with the lingo. And it just doesn't work, really. It just doesn't work at all. It actually just sounds creepy. It sounds like your old creepy uncle trying to be hip with the youngsters at a barbecue. That's what that sounds like.
Yo-yo-yo-yo-yo.
Is that the end of that?
That's all we got, really.
All right.
The Olympic Village is going well, Jim.
Yeah, they're just falling like nine pins.
Well, there's three now that have been confirmed. Coronavirus, and there's more people. What about that? All the people, all the athletes are coming into the village, and I don't know what's going to happen there, Jim, because we've got to talk about the beds later, too, in the Olympic Village. They're made of cardboard. Yeah. You know why? Because they don't want too much weight on the beds, so they're made of cardboard so they collapse.
Is that what it is?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the big bowl of dingers can get much use. Normally that's empty by the end of the Olympics, but this time, Fat, I think she might just be sitting there on its lonesome.
160,000 condoms they've supplied, Jim, the Japanese government. Yeah. Wow, we.
I don't think they'll be needing them.
You mentioned this bloke off the top, so we have to play it.
Big. He's coming. Get him back off. Get him off. Get him off. Get him off. Get him off.
Rabs.
Come on, Rocket.
Damien Barrett is in the studio next to chat round 18 on the Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You know what it's like?
Yes.
Neglect, lack of intimacy, lack of close touchness.
Triple M. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
I love it, Purple. Good to see you on a Monday always.
Hello, Jim and Bill. There's a heap going on today, isn't there, on all sorts of fronts.
Well, I want to... Now, we start with the negatives, we're going to get to them in just a sec. Yeah. But while we're talking negatives, I'm very worried about the standard of broadcasting on this station. Yeah. No, look, there are three examples of people that quite clearly shouldn't be on the air.
Well, one's got small teeth. One's a very good friend of yours, and one's been a known recidivist in this space.
I just want... Well, let's put the three of them up, and I want you to judge who has got the most to worry about. Let's have a listen to Nath Brown end of last week.
As to everybody helped us out, put this to get out to you to the end of the art. I'm going to finish off with that. Triple M rocks footy.
What is that?
What is that?
So
that is a man who's had a brain fade and needs to be rebooted.
Yep. Well, while we're talking brain fades, of course, the famous one from our man years ago with the great Spud Frawley.
Very good, boys. Go near Willis.
I didn't say that.
I don't get any of that. And then, of course, my best mate, Greg Blewett, who's doing a great job over there in Adelaide, but down on the boundary.
Greg Blewett on the boundary for Bob Jane Team Arts.
Clean bill of health. Clean bill of health for both teams down here, guys.
What are we doing?
Well, Greg Blewett, as a result of Nathan Brown's brain meltdown on Friday night, is the happiest person in the Triple M camp right now. Because he's not the only problem.
Where are we at, Jim?
I'll tell you. We're all associated with you. So it might be you. It might be you,
How
Jimmy
am
boy,
I to blame?
It's a fair point, Bill. It's a fair point.
I am concerned. I'm concerned.
You've mentored certainly Bluey, and I think you've had a very close relationship media-wise with Nathan Brown. And obviously you work with Fat.
I've given up on Fat. Yeah. I thought the other two were better than that, to be honest, but they're clearly not. Now, let's get serious. We are in the middle of a COVID crossfire. Yeah. So what are we doing with this competition?
Yeah, and to use all those cliches, it's closing in, isn't it? The evidence of that was in the final hour before the last game of round 18, GWS and the Sydney Swans team. So two key players came out, one for each team in Callum Mills and Toby Green and others, Bill. And look, just to get a sense of drama, I don't think people have fully caught up with how this played out yesterday. One of the players who came in was James Rowbottom from the Swans. And just to let people into his world yesterday, this is how he reflected upon being called up to play the game of footy when he was happily doing his own thing in a hotel room.
I was in the shower just at the hotel about hour 10 before the game, and Berber rang and said, get your gear on, it's been a shit show down here, might be playing. And I jumped out of the shower, got dressed. My girlfriend came upstairs about 2 or 3 minutes later and she said, what are you doing? Aren't we leaving in like an hour? And I said, no, I think I'm playing. And then ladies out the front came down and about half an hour we were in.
So extraordinary scenes where the exposure to the COVID situation in Victoria, where they attended the rugby union match on the Tuesday night of last week, before Victoria was in lockdown and before we'd even had a semblance of what it means to be a tier one, tier two, tier three under this Delta variant approach that the health authorities are having, had to then obviously stand aside from the game yesterday.
So Purple, let me ask you this. What's the point of getting tested? If you get tested and you're negative and it doesn't matter anyway.
That's how it would be, the way I see it, Jim, be treated in Victoria. Given there were special exemptions given to these players and officials to go into Queensland, they are approaching it in a different way. And as such, as we speak, work backwards from a 14-day quarantine period. Now, there will be submissions made on behalf of each individual here. I believe that start time will go back to the actual exposure time, which was Tuesday last week. So there may only be one more game required to be missed for these people who missed already yesterday. But again, even that is in abeyance as we speak.
So what if they can fly into Melbourne and play? Would they then be available?
I would doubt they'd be able to do any sort of movement while they're under this quarantine period at the moment.
So it makes no sense to me, because you get tested, the test come back negative. Surely at that point, you're like, okay, you're free to go.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense that you're then locked down for another 13 days beyond a negative test.
Don't want to get too caught up in the minutiae in that I don't totally claim to know what's going on, Jim, but the Delta variant is one that they're treating very differently to what has happened previously, and as such, the protocols that are in place for the public and obviously by an extended nature when it comes to footballers playing football in another state. So, look, and the worry is what happens again. I mean, we've already had a situation this morning where Josh Dunkley's now in the same boat for exposure, Bill, to another site. So you just wonder how many more incidents of this type can happen before there is something by way of a pause put. But as we speak again, and things can change, but as we speak, the intent is to get these games played right through until the end of the year without stop.
What, 5 home and away rounds to go? So 45 games, Damo. We've just got to tick them off, don't we?
That's
it. Hey, I'll tell you what is interesting. The late changes, there's a new late change, isolating. It's unbelievable.
No.
You know, not injury or whatever.
Yeah.
Isolating. Whoever would have thought of that? But it is, Damo. It's got down to it. It's not a day-by-day thing. It's an hour-by-hour thing now, isn't it?
It is. And look, check on to Triple M online platforms. The round 19 fixture will be out at some stage. We're talking early-ish.
Melbourne Western Bulldogs move to Saturday night, I'm hearing.
It's a Saturday night, was it? Well, it's certainly going to be moved out around 20. Collingwood having to fly into Adelaide for the Port Adelaide game on Friday night. That requires special exemptions too under the fly in, fly out of South Australia. So, yeah, but that's around 20 game that Collingwood Western Bulldogs will be moved forward to round 19.
Melbourne Western Bulldogs.
And other games will then be moved back into round 20. Yeah. But as it stands, what will happen? Each matchup that is still to be played, that game will take place. There won't be any alteration of the actual opponent for each team. It's just when the matches will be played.
We've got about 3 minutes to get the negatives done, and we don't like to dwell on them. So let's bang through a couple. Geelong, my God. They did the biggest number ever on Fremantle, were as poor as any team's been this year for me.
Yeah, well, 3 goals is all they got, and only 1 in the first half, and that came from a deliberate out-of-bounds free kick. Another goal came from a complete botch-up by 3 Geelong defenders who just didn't talk to each other, and the ball spilled loose to Michael Walters, and then they managed to sort of kick a nice goal, I think, themselves. But 3 goals for the entire game. They're in a different... It was like a waffle team, wasn't it, what they did?
But they've been really good, Fat. Their last 6 weeks, Freo have really built into something that's sustainable, but now, you can get beaten by Geelong in the wet. They're a bloody good side, as we know, but that was poor.
Yeah, it was. Look, and I thought Freo were a chance because Geelong, quick turnaround, had to fly into Perth, obviously. But they, it was just professional. They just got over there. They got the points, flew home. So very professional. I know one player who's going well for Freo, Big Darcy. Isn't he having a year? Sean Darcy.
Yeah, he was good. He franked his own form, didn't he? On that, they just don't put anyone above them, the Dockers, and I think that's their concern. That's their next step they're going to take. I throw in Brisbane and Melbourne in the same negative conversation in that Brisbane losing to Richmond, a second loss in a row, St Kilda the previous week.
Yep.
Melbourne adding Hawthorn. Now, they didn't lose, but they didn't win, so they drew. But you then add Hawthorn, which is, as we know, second last on the ladder, to the other teams in Adelaide, Collingwood, and GWS, who are all down the ladder. And they're the teams they haven't been able to beat this year, the Demons. So there's a concern there when there's an attitudinal issue at play.
No doubt. They're not going to play finals against any of those teams because then they would be in a heap of strife. Angus Brayshaw's got to be better. He got a set shot, 35 out, not much angle. He kicks that, you win the game.
Yeah.
So you're leader of the club. I love him. He's my nephew, of course. Mm. Fat, you drag a lot of air into your lungs and you go back and you kick it and the game's done. So disappointing.
Spot on. Mm. Yeah, it was a bit. But there was a couple of other things. Even a couple of their senior players kind of panicked game when they had to go to the boundary or they kicked the ball back into play and they should have really won that one, Melbourne. Jeez, I like the Hawks. I thought...
Or just having some issues with Fats. Well, it's either in speaking or it might be the audio. We're not sure which one.
Can you blame
the
audio for the previous audio you played, Jim?
No. Unfortunately, he was live
very
in
good
studio.
Boys. Daniel Willis.
So,
it might have been a Zoom call, for all we know.
All right, any other negatives quickly before we...
St Kilda missed a chance. I'm not too critical of them, given they had a good 3 weeks prior to their loss to Port Adelaide, but they missed the chance, and they missed it because of their own terrible kicking. We'll get to Port Adelaide on the positive soon, but GWS, Jimmy Bartel, director of the club, sums them up pretty accurately and pretty often these days that they're consistently inconsistent and they just missed. There's no excuse what happened pre-match COVID-wise because they were 7-2-1 and lost the game of footy.
Well, getting back to Port Adelaide and St Kilda, Fat, I think Duck said it best, or it might have been BT, one of the two of them said, you could go and watch Lawn versus Apollo Bay and it would be more entertaining than the 2 hours. It was a very tough watch.
Yeah. Jim, I think that was me, thanks to Seabus Special. Jim?
I love your audio is actually editing yourself while you're speaking. It's good.
It?
All right, we need to get to a break.
I'm going to reboot.
Reboot, Fat. Positives coming up next.
It's a rush hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bizarre Round 18 has been run and won in the AFL, and Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Now we're getting positive, Purple.
We like to be positive on a Monday, Jim, and there's no man who deserves more positivity out of the weekend, in my eyes, than Sammy Walsh from the Carlton Footy Club. You called the game yesterday for Channel 7, and you're all over him. He'd already had a very, very nice game to three-quarter time, but they then hit that point, and they're 8 points down, and he just takes his game to yet again a new level in terms of impact on contest, impact on outcome, and the fact he kicked that goal too at a crucial stage in the last quarter out of nowhere. Another positive too was Harry McKay, who'd done effectively nothing to that point, no goals at least, and then kicked four in the final quarter.
No, Purple, he had done nothing. He hadn't recognised the Sharon to three-quarter time, so it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was, and you look at him, and obviously with what Walsh is doing, Wiedering still having a very nice season down back. There's always been a lot to work with. We just haven't seen it. But three of the past 4 weeks now, it's been pretty good for Carlton. Again, they're not yet there. But at the same time, David Teague, and I've been as critical as anyone about his input into and impact at that team. But right now, under review, he's probably coaching the best he's ever coached, at least in terms of getting the message through. And we've seen that story before. They get to three-quarter time, they're a chance, and they fall away. Well, yesterday they didn't. And okay, it was only against Collingwood, but it was still a meritorious win, Bill.
It was, and well done to Jack Silvani there, and a nice tribute to his grandfather when he kicked that goal.
Yeah, very good.
I did like that. What about Sam Walsh's heat map?
Oh, Bill, I don't think we need to point to that.
I don't want to know if it's true or not. I don't know what's in the shape of. Well, I do.
I don't know what it's in the shape of.
When have you ever talked about a heat map before, Bill?
Bill.
On radio.
Well,
we can't show our listeners.
I'll show you it.
Oh, you'll show it? Yeah, I'll show we're on radio on and you're going to show us the heat map.
I'm going to get it on
Zoom. It's basically a little fruity, the drawing of the heat map. And Bill thinks it's the funniest thing ever because he's basically a juvenile. Aren't you? Mentally, it's about 12.
I'm not sure it is.
No, I think 12. He was playing over in Fremantle at Cockburn, Jim.
Oh, no. Anyway, we move on from Carlton, and they are a worthy positive. Who else?
We'll get to Richmond. The minus came out of, obviously, the season-ending kidney injury to Dusty Martin, but just on the footy side of it, to do what they did against the Lions, having had a torrid previous month, it was old-school Richmond, wasn't it, Jim, the way they just pushed that ball forward at the key times. And they've got a tough game against Geelong now. That game will stay at the MCG. It's Geelong's home game. It will not be moved to GMHBA. But after that, just quickly, Jim, their matches go this way. After Geelong, Fremantle, North Melbourne, GWS and Hawthorn, I'm giving them those four games.
Four.
And that will be enough to make finals, and then it's game on again. But I'm giving them four out of the remaining five.
You reckon that'll be enough?
Well, they're on eight wins now. 12 says to me, historically, you get in on the 12.
Even this year where that eight spot's really tight?
Yeah, and I think the fact that he's tight actually lends itself to being a 12-win guarantee and maybe even 11, even though right now it looks like you might need more than that. But look, they were back to their old-school desperation and just channel the ball forward. So there are seasons...
Even a Dusty Martin-less Richmond, you think, can win,
I think they can win
five
of
their
five.
Last six?
Yeah, five of the last six, including the Lions game. Yeah,
well, if they do that, they'll be worthy finalists.
Yes, and then the conversation resets, doesn't it? What can they do at that point? But there's not one team that would want to play them, even without Dusty, I would think. So Port Adelaide, in the context of where they've been over under Ken Hinckley's era, there's been bigger wins. They've made prelim finals twice. But I reckon if they can just make something of what they did on the weekend, the win against St Kilda was I feel, as good a home and away win as they've had for a long time anyway, because of the en masse injuries they've got. I mean, Gray being out for a long time, Motlop was out, Fantasia's been a good pickup, but hasn't been able to play. And then Butters, Dersma, who played in the Sandful Bill, and Rosie as well. That's a lot of talent out. That's a lot of talent out. And he didn't wrap up Ollie Wines on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, Bill? Said he's found who he is and what he is. And I think that's a great little phrase to apply to Ollie Wines with how he's going about everything in 2021. And then you've also got Ryan Burton, Jim, who has been suffering niggling injuries pretty much his whole career. But he, again, according to Ken Hinckley, put together his best game of football as a Port player.
Carl Amon as well, Fat. I love the way he rolls. Very good player.
Kicks goals also, Jim. But Georgiades, who was the other one. He's only a young boy, but gee, he can play. He's going to kick a lot of goals.
And Boyd.
Boyd. Well, he had to go off for old Boyd Woodcock. He corked his thigh.
He did.
Old splinters. So he went off for a while. Hey, I'll tell you what I did love. Horse Longmire. Did you see that? A great win by Sydney. But he got emotional, the big fella. He'd been away from family. They lost three players. They were 35 points down, had a good win. He was actually emotional.
Were there tears, Bill? I have heard about this, but I didn't see it myself.
He was wiping away tears, and Horse never does that.
No.
That's very unhorse-like.
It's a character flaw, according to Sam Newman, isn't it?
Well, but it certainly was with Spud when he's the Don Bradman of our games. No, I can't go on. Who else?
No, it's just to Bill's point, the Swans, to be down 1-7 in the second quarter of that game and to then regroup, and Buddy hadn't done anything to that point, ended up with four and looked as good as at any stage of he's been, certainly in 2021. Happily kicking four as well. The old guys, I just love what Parker and Kennedy are doing this year in just doing enough, but importantly allowing the kids beneath them to actually do equally as much. And they've got a beautiful mix, their Swans, right now.
No, they're good. Jake Stringer doing exactly what you need to do when you're out of contract.
Yeah, and what you need to do for a team that's still vying for the eight and finished round 18 in the eight. So that being the Bombers, another four goals. Crucial at the times you want a player like that to be crucial in, Jim. Late, that being. He's having a good season for the Bombers too, isn't he? Big two-metre Peter. And Merritt and Parrish, who've put together some very, very sound seasons to this point. They stood up. North was good again, but ultimately the Bombers, with more to play for ultimately and with more talent, got the job done.
Well, what I like about North, Fat, is Taran Thomas is finally becoming what he's always had, extraordinary skill, but he's starting to put it together over 2 hours. Luke Davies-Uniac the same. And Jai Simkin is a proper footballer.
Do you think he's the next captain?
I would have no doubt about that.
No doubt.
He or Luke McDonald, either or, they'd both be good, but he is... He's a serious footballer, Jai Simkin. Beautiful mover. I love the way he slices through traffic.
It was an important year for him, wasn't it, in that big picture perspective, to take the step. And you're feeling he's taken the necessary step.
No, I reckon he's an absolute ripper.
Okay.
West Coast, I didn't see any of that. Is there anything coming out of that?
Did what they had. A bit like the Bulldogs against Gold Coast, did what they had to do to get the job done just to stay where they are in the eight. And that's sometimes that's all you got to do, just get the job done. Kennedy being out didn't hurt them, with Cripps kicking five and Ryan doing well too. But they got their goals through different means, and that's not a bad thing, given it was forced upon them with Kennedy not being there. I thought what Hawthorn did to Melbourne, just to talk about the positive out of that game, from a Hawks perspective, was bring the ball in to their own 50 in a way that really unsettled Lever and May's operations. Yep. And any team playing Melbourne, I think, will study what Hawthorn did on that game. And look, some of it may have been inadvertent, but at the same time, it kept them out of the game. And I think it's a key takeout for other clubs. And I just want to touch back onto Geelong. It's been for some time. I just feel they're as well placed as any club better placed than any club by some distance. If they can get back Cameron, which they expect to get back very late in the home and away, Bill. Gary Rowan, they'll probably miss one, maybe two more. And then the curveball one is the Mitch Duncan. I just don't have a read on whether he's going to get back from what he's got. And if he does, it might even be the first or second week of finals. But if they get all three back, look out.
Mm. No, I'm hearing it. Now, we got Carlton fans who have tuned in 100% to this time of the day because they want to know, is the bus that's been parked there for best part of 2.5 years... after that meritorious win against their arch rival, is it going anywhere? Hit it, Rabbits.
It's a good point, Jim.
It's on blocks, that bus.
You've actually caught me off guard on this.
It hasn't got any wheels.
You know what?
It's been left there that long.
I'm leaving it there.
Oh! No, Damo.
I'm leaving it there.
No.
I just want to see it again. All right? So maybe ask me this time next Monday.
They got North this weekend, haven't they? That's a game they absolutely should win.
They should win. They should win.
All right.
I'll leave it there.
If they beat North, does it go?
No, because it's only North.
Damo, come
that
on.
That is
Damo.
Harsh. Anyway, Nath Brown can finish off our show because it's been, not our show, our segment with Purple, because we love him, of course.
As to everybody helped us out, put this together. At the end of the art, I'm going to finish off with something. Triple M Rocks footy.
Damo's recovery session.
Did he
It's a rush hour. Triple M.
Triple M's rush hour with JB and Billy.
Jim, where have all these fishes come from?
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio, this is Triple M's rush hour with JB and Bill.
Now, Bill, you have two beautiful daughters, of course, Luce and Rubes. And I now live in a house with a 13-year-old daughter of my partner, Charlotte. She is a beautiful girl, as in just it's stunning physically, but just got the beautiful heart and is a gem. But what I find, Bill, after having lived with four sons myself, you develop a certain way of speaking to your children, and it's pretty abrupt, and it's pretty honest, and it's pretty, there's no bullshlucking. So if any of my boys do the wrong thing, they get split down the middle immediately and they're left in no doubt. When you're dealing with a girl, you've got to it's very different. And I'm going to tell you why it's different. We've got this room at the front of our house, which has got an open fireplace, and I have built it into my room. So I've had a mantle put over the fire so then I can put a TV above that. I can go in there and watch my tape. I can shut the door. I can turn the fire on. And oh my goodness, it is mine. It's my sanctuary fat. I can get in there. I can watch whatever I want. I get left alone. It's beautiful. That's taken me about a year to put this room together.
I think it's called a mantelpiece.
Well, it's sort of not this one because it hasn't got, it's just a piece of wood to stop the fire heat from buggering my telly up. So it's sort of just protecting it underneath. Anyway, I had to have that crafted. In it came. Yep. And now it is, and I went and bought a couch. So I get my own couch. I put that in there because Lisa's obviously a designer, so I get no say in anything that goes into our house. No, but one.
So what's happened?
I was able to get my own couch, and so I'm set up. I'm ready to go. I've got my own place in the joint. So homeschooling.
And?
Suddenly homeschooling. So I'm like, all right. So the kids have all got a desk in their room, and they've all got a place that they can homeschool. So I get up a bit late on a Monday, because it's a bit sleep in. So I get up a bit late on a Monday and I think to myself, all right, Lisa's working. She's making lots of phone calls at the moment, so I don't want to disturb her. So I thought I'd go down to my room. I'll have my Uggs on. I have my dressing gown on. I'll put the fire on. I'll read the paper on the iPad. I go walking in there, and guess what I find?
Yep.
Charlotte.
Ooh.
I looked at her.
So what did you say?
I looked at her. I said, shush. This is my room. Guess what I got back? What? No, it isn't. It's mine now. Ooh. I like it in here. And I've given it the... No, but I put all this stuff. I did it so that it's my room.
Metal piece.
She goes, I know. It's really nice in here. I like it. I'm staying.
Oh, no.
And I just...
So what happened?
I turned around, Bill. I walked out. I walked down the corridor and found somewhere else to sit with my iPad.
Oh, you're but soft. You are soft.
I thought to me, because she is such a star. I love her to bits. But I thought to myself, if that's George and Fred, get your... Ass.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit what you think of it. Pick your stuff up and get out of here within a second. This is mine. But as soon as you're confronted, and you know this with Rubes and Luce, you've got to lay your guns down, Bill.
Because, mate, if they even tear up a little bit or get a bit sulky, do you feel bad? Wowee. So, no, good move, Jim. Well done.
I just got owned. I walk back down to Lise and she just goes, yep, that's how she rolls. So I've lost my room.
Sucked in.
It's a rush hour. Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
They're the colours, Jim. Right. The magenta, the rose, talkies, and teal.
Talkies
and teal.
Hang on a second. Hang on.
On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, James Brayshaw and Binns Brownless.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
See, I reckon this is a really poxy segment, but I'm happy for us to run just so I can hear that intro.
The opener. Yeah.
How good is it? Yeah. What are we doing?
Shut up, Jim. Tell you what, I have got this. You'll enjoy this.
Yes.
This is from 7AFL, the website, Jimmy Boy.
Instagram, yeah.
Reserves coach, right?
Yep.
He's in the amateurs. So, and he's collected all the texts that his players have sent through when it's a raining training night, okay?
Yes.
And it's going to be cold and raining. And some of the excuses that some of the players have used.
Yep.
I had a player once. Said he was at the Olympics. His grandma had died twice during the year already.
Yes.
He'd smashed his boss's ute 3 times.
Yep.
And he'd been to 5 funerals, Jim.
Yes.
If you don't mind. So you get all those. You know what it's like, Jimmy Boy. You get plenty of them. Oh. Another one here. I like this one here because had a teammate once who we called the grenade because if it was cold and wet, you just knew he was going to pull the pin.
Yes. Yes. No, I like that fact.
Like
well, there's one, Jimmy Hicks has come in and said, I played with someone whose grandma had 5/80ths and died 4 times in a 2-year period. Oh, I love it. Well, Jeff Bill, said, it's cold and windy and wet and they're playing in the reserves, you know, they can miss
the odds. No, you get in there.
All right, come on.
You get in there with your teammates, Jim. Remember, one of the players come in, he said, sorry, I can't train tonight. I've torn the calf off my bone, okay? But I'm okay to play Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. And then I think one bloke said, Mum's forgot it's training night, cooked a roast, and I'll let her down too much if I don't stay and eat it, he reckons.
That's fair enough.
Oh, I like it.
Tony had a good one. Sorry, I can't make it to training to Grandma's birthday. Then his mate texts me, sorry, can't make training tonight, celebrating Justin's grandma's birthday. So they're both going to grandma's birthday.
Oh, come on, boy. Fat. I like it. I like it, fat. I don't like you, but I like it.
You like the segment?
I know that.
You like the opener?
I like the opener. That's all. Not much else about what good fat rolls. Have you got something funny?
What?
In a joke to finish the show? Same way we've been finishing the show for 10 years?
Joke, Jim, apparently. Go.
That's coming up next on the Rush Hour. I don't know.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Bill, this...
At to the end of the art.
...is Triple M's Rush Hour on tomorrow's show. Andy Lee, because he's going to be on the front bar Tokyo Olympics edition.
Oh, good. Love him. All right, now, Fat, Something to finish the show on a Monday to make people laugh. They're all locked down. It looks like lockdown's going to be bloody extended. So people want a smile on their face.
And I'm sorry to all those people, but here we go, okay?
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Hard to find a good joke, a good clean joke, as you know, Jimmy, but I just found this one.
You find them very hard to find.
I went to the pub last night, which I did, and this is last week. I went to the pub last week dressed as a tennis ball, Jim. You wouldn't believe it. I got served straight away.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You went to the pub dressed like a tennis ball, and he got served straight away. Yeah, so just a big, boring story.
And he takes him a green T-shirt to look like that. So.
No! Oh, rabbits! There's the rabbits waiting
was something. Well, might have been double folded. I could have.
Oh, no. Leave it.
Fair enough, too, Tether.
Etsy to the end of the art.